This morning on WCHL, a career in teaching has become less attractive here in North Carolina, meaning a degree in the education field has lost some of its luster as well.
Across the state, we have been put in a little bit of a defensive position to defend education a little bit and why it's a good choice.
UNC's J School has named its Halls of Fame inductees, including one of our own. And President Obama has ordered troops to Africa to help in the Ebola outbreak. Some companies here in the United States are trying unconventional methods in the attempts of finding a cure. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the Carolina men's soccer team is number one. Carolina volleyball is moving up. Plus, the Tar Heel football team returns to the gridiron, but it's not going to be easy in Greenville this weekend.
When you're talking about an in-state team, the good part about it is the regional rivalry that I've talked about before, that the fans, they love it. They don't like the other side.
And
while we were away, Carolina's schedule turned downright nasty.
That's this morning at our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 65 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today. There's a 30% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. A little warmer today than yesterday, but then tomorrow it'll cool off again. The UNC School of Education is having its share of problems attracting new students who want a career in teaching, and for predictable reasons, lack of incentives and statewide cuts to teaching programs. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
I would think that we are very much in the same situation as other schools of education across the state.
That's Ann Bryan, Assistant Dean for Student Affairs at the UNC School of Education. Recent news reports about declining enrollments for School of Education programs are sobering. Speaking recently with WCHL, Brian confirmed that the UNC School of Education is feeling the pain too. She supplied some raw numbers that show an especially startling drop in undergraduate admissions for the 2014-15 school year. Only 81 undergrads enrolled this time around, compared to 113 the year before. Graduate admissions are a little better, up to 171 from 151 last year, but 2 years ago, the number was around 230. Brian said there's a noticeable trend of students turning away from education as a major, and she lays some of the blame on the state's elimination of the Teaching Fellows program and the recent elimination of master's pay for teachers that earn advanced degrees.
Across the state, we have been put in a little bit of a defensive position to defend education a little bit and why it's a good choice in light of some decisions made at the state level, particularly around pay.
Brian says she's not entirely dejected by declining numbers. She said the School of Education has an ear to the ground for students who may not even want to go into teaching, but into education policy instead.
I think that our relatively new education minor is bursting with students.
It's not that the department is giving up on drawing aspiring teachers either. Brian said the School of Education is stepping up recruitment efforts with more college fairs, open houses, information sessions, and working with undergraduate admissions to get the word out.
North Carolina has high needs areas still where teachers in math, science, and special education can pretty much get a job anywhere in the state they want.
An open house for graduate students is scheduled for Saturday, October 11th. If you're interested in attending, you can RSVP on the School of Education website, which you can find through a link on our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The UNC Chapel Hill School of Journalism and Mass Communication is welcoming WCHL's owner and CEO, Jim Hebner, as a Halls of Fame inductee. The North Carolina Halls of Fame for Journalism, Advertising, and Public Relations ceremony honors individuals who've made outstanding career-long contributions to their fields, according to a press release from UNC. Inductees must be native North Carolinians or be identified with the state. Hebner started working here at WCHL in 1961 and was the force behind moving the music station to full-time news. In later years, the station began life in 1953 under the ownership of Sandy McClamrock, who also served as Chapel Hill's mayor throughout the 1960s. By 1978, Hebner was majority owner. WCHL operates as a division of Vilcom, of which Hebner is owner and CEO. Hebner is one of eight Halls of Fame inductees to be honored at the October 10th event that's coming up at the Sheraton Chapel Hill Hotel. Others include UNC Professor Emeritus Harry Amana, the first black journalism professor at the university, and Chris Matthews, host of MSNBC's Hardball. In 1968, Matthews dropped out of the UNC doctoral program in economics. After 1 year, joined the Peace Corps. Tickets for the event are $75. They're available through September 26th. You can purchase them by calling 919-843-2026. You can find that number in the story on our website, chapelboro.com. Carborough Alderman will consider creating the position of town historian when the board meets tonight. If the board approves the position, the town will put out a call for applicants, and Alderman would appoint an historian to serve for a 4-year term. The board will also consider signing an interlocal agreement with Chapel Hill and Orange County to reimburse the county for preliminary engineering and community outreach efforts related to the effort to bring sewer service to the Rogers Road community. Carborough's share totals $25,200. The Board of Aldermen will meet tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. And Orange County commissioners will also meet. They will review employee benefits and authorize the purchase of a new truck to haul solid waste. When the board meets tonight, the projected renewal costs for county employee health benefits are expected to rise by 13% for the next year, but that increase will likely be paid for by the county, not by individual employees. Commissioners will also consider purchasing a hooked lift truck for $193,000 to service the recycling compactors at Walnut Grove Convenience Center, the cardboard compactor at the landfill, and all of the purple rigid plastic roll-off containers at the county's solid waste convenience centers and recycling drop-off sites. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. You can read the agenda for the Orange County Commissioners meeting and also for the Carborough Board of Aldermen meeting in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. A survey of North Carolina's likely voters shows Democratic U.S. Senator Kay Hagan holds a narrow lead over Republican challenger Tom Tillis, roughly 2 months away from Election Day. The Elon University poll released on Monday had Hagan with support from 45% of those likely to vote, compared to 41% for Tillis, the state House Speaker. 9% say they would vote for someone else, and close to 5% are undecided. The survey of 629 likely voters taken September 5th through September 9th has a margin of sampling error of 3.9 percentage points. When expanded to include registered voters surveyed, the Elon poll says 38% approved of President Barack Obama's job performance, while 50% disapproved. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tillis is getting help from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie as part of Christie's multiple-stop swing through the Carolinas to raise money and meet voters. Christie and Tillis were slated to hold a meet-and-greet early this morning in Wilmington before holding a private fundraiser for Tillis' campaign. Christie will head on to South Carolina for several fundraisers on behalf of that state's incumbent Governor Nikki Haley, who's seeking re-election this fall. State House Speaker Tillis is attempting to unseat Kay Hagan, of course. Christie's visits come under his position as chairman of the Republican Governors Association, but he'll also visit two states that could play important roles in the GOP presidential nomination in early 2016. Christie is considering a run for president. The deadliest Ebola outbreak in history is continuing to rage in West Africa, with more than 3,500 infected since March and more than 1,800 dead. With a race to create effective medicine to combat the epidemic, a few companies are trying a not-so-conventional approach. Jordan Nash reports for Carolina Connection.
Tobacco. People light it up and chew it. But now, a few medical factories are using tobacco for a healthy cause, for vaccines and antibody treatment. In order to make vaccines and treatments work, scientists grow proteins. UNC graduate Daniel Adams is a lab analyst in Durham and explains how proteins are normally grown.
So when flu season rolls around, they pick the strain they think is going to be the most popular, and they put it in a chicken egg, and they use natural physiological processes to replicate it.
The problem? This method takes about 5 to 6 months to grow the proteins enough to make the medicine. The tobacco process of growing proteins works in a similar fashion, but takes a much shorter time. Medicago, a Canadian-owned medical company that produces vaccines by using plant processes, has an American branch located in Research Triangle Park. The Durham facility is equipped to make more than 10 million doses of pandemic flu vaccines each month. So how does the tobacco process work?
The tobacco strain, they're putting a protein in tobacco, and it's going to replicate it and act like a factory for it. And after a few weeks or days, however long it takes, they have enough to distill down to their drug product.
And a new use for the cheaper and quicker tobacco process? To make treatments to combat Ebola. Kentucky Bioprocessing is using this method to make a treatment called ZMAP for the virus. The company, which is owned by tobacco giant Reynolds American Incorporated, made the medicine that was given to the two Americans who were affected in Liberia who lived and to the Spanish priest who died this summer. These treatments were not approved by the FDA, but were given because of the dire circumstances. While those doses were the only ones Kentucky Bioprocessing had, officials in the company say they are working diligently to make more treatment doses as quickly as possible. They say once another treatment is made and approved in the U.S., they can crank out thousands or millions of doses in a short period of time. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jordan Nash.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. And the Obama administration is ramping up its response to West Africa's Ebola crisis. It's going to send 3,000 military personnel to the region to provide medical and logistical support. The Ebola outbreak is blamed now for more than 2,200 deaths. WCHL News Time, 7:17. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still not too many problems out there right now, just the usual morning delays that you might see on a daily basis. 15501 northbound and southbound seeing spotty delays in the Chapel Hill Carborough area, but no accidents, no additional major delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Wasn't that long ago when you popped the question, and you've been a little over a year now.
That's true.
There are people out there in the audience right now who are thinking about popping the question, and they need an engagement ring, and that custom piece you've been dreaming of is there for you as well. Go talk to Berkeley Grimble at Grimble Jewelers. He's always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. Grimble Jewelers. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Four Corners. It is 65 degrees, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s, a little bit warmer than yesterday. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and the low tonight in the low 60s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, 20% chance of showers in the morning, slight chance of rain in the afternoon, too. And tomorrow's high, not quite as warm, high in the middle 70s tomorrow. Four Corners, home of the $6 lunch special, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Join the lunch club and your sixth lunch is free at Four Corners, downtown on East Franklin Street.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:19. A new report by the investment rating agency Standard & Poor's says the income gap is undermining public treasuries in North Carolina and other states. The S&P report released on Monday says North Carolina is among the 10 states most reliant on income tax revenues. The report says the increasing flow of wealth to top earners is forcing policymakers to choose between raising taxes on the rich or cutting spending for education, medical care, and other services. The report says North Carolina's annual tax revenues in the 2000s grew on average by about half the rate of the 1990s and grew by only a slightly faster pace since the recession scarred 2009. North Carolina's tax revenues in recent years grew more slowly than the average of similar states heavily dependent on income tax revenues. WCHL News Time, 7:20. Time now for championship sports. UNC men's soccer team surpassed the only team it has fallen to this season and now sits at the top spot in the nation, according to a recent poll. College Soccer News ranked North Carolina number one in the nation Monday after its 3-0 ACC win against Pittsburgh on Friday here in Chapel Hill. That win propelled the Tar Heels past the former number one UCLA. The Bruins lost to the Bruins 1-0. The Tar Heels lost to the Bruins 1-0 in the Carolina Nike Classic on August 31st. Bruins' recent scoring woes helped contribute to the shift. UCLA is coming up a pair of nothing-nothing ties to Santa Clara and Cal Poly over the weekend. Notre Dame held a number two spot before Monday's poll, but fell down to number four after losing to Kentucky 1-0 last Monday. Washington sits in the number three spot, moving up two spots. Virginia rounds out the top five, falling a spot. Tar Heels are back on the road and out of conference play tonight against William & Mary. That game can be seen on NSCAA TV with a kickoff schedule for 7 o'clock. The UNC volleyball team jumped four spots in this week's national rankings after sweeping its opponents in the Carolina Classic over the weekend. The AVCA coaches poll voted the Tar Heels into the number 13 spot after a hard-fought meeting with then number 16 Kentucky over the weekend. Tar Heels then ranked number 17, pulled off the five-set victory with a 16-14 final set. Wildcats took sets 2 and 3 in dominating fashion, 25-15 in each, but the Heels answered with a 25-13 set 4-4. Force the deciding set. The weekend's remaining games, a breeze comparatively as Carolina swept Georgia Southern and Virginia Commonwealth on doubleheader Saturday. UNC is 7-1 on the season and on a five-match winning streak after its 3-0 loss to Illinois in the Illini Classic on August 30th. Tar Heels remain home this weekend for the ACC Big 12 Classic. Oklahoma comes to town on Friday. Carolina will host West Virginia on Saturday. Both those matches begin at 6 p.m. Well, let's talk football. It is game week again for Carolina's football team with a trip down to Greenville to face East Carolina in Pirate Country on tap for Saturday. Head coach Larry Fedora and the Tar Heels know they will have to be at their best to come out of there with a win and improve to 3-0. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
The open bye week gave the UNC coaching staff the opportunity to go back to the basics and preach the fundamentals. The Tar Heels were sloppy with penalties, defensive assignments, and tackles for large portions of their wins in the opening two contests. Coach Fedora says he thought his team, loaded with an infusion of freshmen and sophomores, profited greatly from the refresher courses in practice at Navy Field.
It's an opportunity for them to get more reps and hopefully become more comfortable. When it'll slow down for them, I don't know. You know, last year it took a while for all those young kids before the game slowed down and they started realizing that they could play. You know, and so I don't know when that'll take place for them, but it was nice. I thought it was good to have the open week at this point, which just gave us some time to really go back to the fundamentals.
But the tune-up time is over. Game week is in full swing for the Tar Heels. The Pirates are coming off an impressive 28-21 upset over then number 17 Virginia Tech at Blacksburg, a place few opponents walk out of on the right side of the scoreboard. So with an in-state rivalry game against an in-form opponent upcoming in a hostile environment, Carolina will no doubt face a stern test. Coach Fedora says the regional matchups featuring ravenous fan bases only add to the excitement.
When you're talking about an in-state team, the good part about it is the regional rivalry that I've talked about before, that the fans are, you know, they love it. I mean, both sides. I mean, because they don't like the other side.
Coach Fedora says game weeks like these are what make college football so special.
So that's good for college football. It really is. I think it's good. It gives your fans something to talk about all year, and it's something to talk about up to the game and after the game, and I think it's a good thing.
Saturday will offer a chance at some sweet revenge for the Tar Heels. A season ago, Carolina suffered a humiliating 55-31 home loss in Chapel Hill to the Pirates. Coach Fedora says he doesn't have to remind his team about last year's debacle in Keenan Stadium.
You really don't have to say anything. I mean, these guys, they don't forget things like that, you know. So I'm sure that in a lot of their minds, it will be a factor for them. It will be something that you know, internally motivates them. But then you got other guys that are playing that had nothing to do with the game. So, I mean, it's a game to them.
After opening their season in the cozy comforts of home, the schedule turns tough for the Tar Heels, with 5 of their next 7 games coming on the road. As Coach Fedora always says, UNC will be taking it one step at a time, just trying to go 1-0 each week. But given last year, if Carolina is somehow able to go 1-0 at the end of play on Saturday in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, it may feel more like 2 wins for the price of 1. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Game time on Saturday is 3:30, and WCHL's coverage will get underway early at 12 noon with the UNC Healthcare Countdown to Kickoff presented by Stanley Martin Homes, followed by The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. And it's hard for Coach Fedora to know exactly what kind of defense he has. On the one hand, the Tar Heels have been among the nation's best at forcing turnovers in their first two games. On the other, they missed way too many tackles. Last game, Saturday's trip to East Carolina could say a lot about whether the Tar Heels are set for a season-long repeat of the same defensive problems from a year ago, which included an ugly performance in that blowout loss to the Pirates. Fedora says his team missed 34 tackles in its last game against San Diego State and worked on tackling during the bye week. The Tar Heels have been among the nation's best at forcing turnovers. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
While we were away, Carolina's schedule turned downright nasty. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Let's get serious, please. Who really expected East Carolina to go into Blacksburg and shock a Virginia Tech team that had just beaten 8th-ranked Ohio State in Columbus? And who gave Virginia any chance of upsetting ACC newbie Louisville that was looking like a threat to Florida State in the Atlantic Division? Well, those two upsets occurred, expanding a very tough 5-game stretch into a murderer's row for the Tar Heels, who now have to prove they can be a prohibitive favorite to win a game all the way to the regular season finale against NC State. As I said last week in this program, winning at East Carolina was going to be a bear for Larry Fedora's team. Now it's more like a mountain lion after the Pirates went to Blacksburg, broke out to an early lead they made look easy, and held on to upset the Hokies. You already thought Dowdy Ficklin was going to be crazy Saturday afternoon, right? Now it's going to be a jam-packed madhouse in Greenville. Then comes a trip to Clemson, a visit from a smarting Vautech team on the road and at home against unbeaten's Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, followed by what once looked like a laugher in Charlottesville. Take a deep breath, not so fast, because then comes a road game at Miami, hosting currently undefeated Pitt, and trying to avoid losing 3 straight to Duke, this one on national TV in Durham. I know the Heels are 2-0, but frankly, they haven't done much to prove they can win any of the next 9 games. And just as frankly, watching the tape of wins over Liberty and San Diego State may be giving opponents more confidence than trepidation. None of the 9 has a losing record, and they enter this weekend with a combined 21-5 mark. Remember, Carolina was picked 4th in the ACC Coastal, but began the season as the only team in the division ranked in the top 25. So the Tar Heels were supposed to be pretty good. They need to prove they're even better than that against a schedule that has suddenly turned treacherous. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Get ready to put your undergraduate degree to work by setting your sights on graduate school, a professional program, or advanced testing. Durham Tech offers courses in anatomy, physiology, psychology, statistics, and more at campuses in Durham and Orange counties. As a visiting student, you'll have a special advisor to guide you through the enrollment process. So grab a copy of your official transcript, visit durhamtech.edu, and search visiting degree students. And get ready to do great things.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy-cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
Hi, I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Extraordinary Ventures Pets. It's 50% off, a $150 value for dog walking services available today for only $75. No time to walk your dog? Extraordinary Ventures is proud to announce their latest business called EV Pets. EV employees will come directly to your Chapel Hill, Carborough, or Hillsborough home during the week of your choice and walk your dog for 5 consecutive days. Each session takes approximately 50 minutes and includes walking, watering, and lots of love. It's half off from EV Pets, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. It is 64 degrees, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A little warmer today, high today in the low 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms, low tonight in the low 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high in the middle 70s. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in the state. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
97.9 FM, WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com.
News update, I'm Dave Barrett. The Ebola virus in Africa.
This is a very large epidemic. It's going to take a lot of effort over a long period of time. This is not going to be over quickly.
It's now getting targeted with U.S. military personnel, supplies, and money. Dr. William Schaffner is an expert on preventative medicine at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville.
What we say is train the trainers, right? Train the local people so that they can do it, do all the work.
CBS's Dean Reynolds explains what will be sent to fight Ebola in West Africa.
Among the investments, an additional $88 million for equipment and supplies, 17 treatment units, each with 100 beds and up to 3,000 military personnel to help contain the epidemic, and train up to 500 medical workers per week for as long as needed.
More than 2,500 deaths have resulted from the outbreak, and today the president goes to the CDC in Atlanta to discuss the crisis. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
64 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. The UNC School of Education is having its share of problems attracting new students who want to pursue a career in teaching, and for predictable reasons, lack of incentives, and of course, statewide budget cuts to teaching programs. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
I would think that we are very much in the same situation as other schools of education across the state.
That's Ann Bryan, Assistant Dean for Student Affairs at the UNC School of Education. Recent news reports about declining enrollment in School of Education programs are sobering. Speaking recently with WCHL, Bryan confirmed that the UNC School of Education is feeling the pain too. She supplied some raw numbers that show an especially startling drop in undergraduate admissions for the 2014-15 school year. Only 81 undergrads enrolled this time around, compared to 113 the year before. Graduate admissions are a little better, up to 171 from 151 last year, but 2 years ago, the number was around 230. Bryan said there's a noticeable trend of students turning away from education as a major, and she lays some of the blame on the state's elimination of the Teaching Fellows Program and the recent elimination of master's pay for teachers that earn advanced degrees.
Across the state, we have been put in a little bit of a defensive position to defend education a little bit and why it's a good choice in light of some decisions made at the state level, particularly around pay.
Bryan says she's not entirely dejected by declining numbers. She said the School of Education has an ear to the ground for students who may not even want to go into teaching, but into education policy instead.
I think that our relatively new education minor is bursting with students.
It's not that the department is giving up on drawing aspiring teachers either. Bryan said the School of Education is stepping up recruitment efforts with more college fairs, open houses, information sessions, and working with undergraduate admissions to get the word out.
North Carolina has high needs areas still where teachers in math, science, and special education can pretty much get a job anywhere in the state they want.
An open house for graduate students is scheduled for Saturday, October 11th. If you're interested in attending, you can RSVP on the School of Education website, which you can find through a link on our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The UNC Chapel Hill School of Journalism and Mass Communication is welcoming WCHL's owner and CEO, Jim Hebner, as a Halls of Fame inductee. The North Carolina Halls of Fame for Journalism, Advertising, and Public Relations ceremony honors individuals who have made outstanding career-long contributions to their fields, according to a press release from the university. Inductees have to be native North Carolinians or be identified with the state. Hebner started working at WCHL in 1961 and in later years was the force behind moving the music station to full-time news. The station began life in 1953 under the ownership of Sandy McClamrock, who also served as Chapel Hill's mayor throughout the 1960s. By 1978, Hebner was majority owner. WCHL operates as a division of Vilcom, of which Hebner is owner and CEO. Hebner is one of eight Halls of Fame inductees to be honored at the October 10th event at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Others include UNC Professor Emeritus Harry Amana, the first black journalism professor at the university, and Chris Matthews, host of MSNBC's Hardball. In 1968, Matthews dropped out of the Carolina doctoral program in economics after 1 year to join the Peace Corps. Tickets for the event are $75 each. They're available through September 26th. You can purchase them by calling 919-843-2026. You can find that number in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. But congratulations to Jim Hebner. Carver Alderman will consider creating the position of town historian when the board meets tonight. If the board approves the position, the town would put out a call for applicants, and Alderman would appoint an historian to serve for a four-year term. The board will also consider signing an interlocal agreement with Chapel Hill and Orange County to reimburse the county for preliminary engineering and community outreach efforts related to the effort to bring sewer service to the Rogers Road neighborhood. Carborough's share totals $25,200. The Board of Aldermen will meet tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. Another important meeting taking place tonight, Orange County Commissioners will review employee benefits and authorize the purchase of a new truck to haul solid waste when the board meets tonight. The projected renewal costs for county employee health benefits are expected to go up by 13% for the next year. But that increase will likely be paid for by the county, not by individual employees. Commissioners will also consider purchasing a hook lift truck for $193,000 to service the recycling compactors at Walnut Grove Convenience Center. The cardboard compactor at the landfill, and all of the purple rigid plastic roll-off containers at Orange County Solid Waste Convenience Centers and recycling drop-off sites. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. You can read the agenda for the County Commissioners meeting and the Board of Aldermen meeting on our website, chapelboro.com. A Wake County Superior Court judge has dismissed a trespassing case against a protester arrested at the North Carolina Legislative Building in Raleigh, a ruling that could very well impact future cases. The News and Observer reports that Chief Resident Superior Court Judge Donald Stevens ruled last Friday that the constitutional rights of Leonard Beegley were violated when he was arrested in June of last year for demonstrating against the General Assembly's agenda. Beegley was among more than 900 demonstrators arrested last summer outside the legislature, many of those from right here in Orange County, where state senators and representatives were adopting new laws and policies. A lot of protesting going on. The ruling was the first in Wake County Superior Court to address constitutional issues challenged by protesters at the district court level. It could affect cases on appeal and those still undecided in district court. And some North Carolina political conservatives want state lawmakers to consider whether to replace the death penalty with life in prison without parole due to recently vacated murder cases. The group North Carolina Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty said this week the General Assembly should reevaluate capital punishment. A judge 2 weeks ago ordered the release of half-brothers, one the longest-serving death row inmate and the other serving life in prison, after overturning their convictions related to an 11-year-old girl slaying. The judge cited new DNA evidence. Republicans at the legislature passed a law last year designed to resume capital punishment after years of legal delays. The group's coordinator is Republican consultant Ballard Everett. Group members include current or former GOP chairman in Nash, Wake, and Durham counties. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Lauren Eastham has today's commentary. That is on the way next.
Beethoven, what's wrong?
Ah, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Breadman's? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Breadman's, come to Breadman's. Eat at Breadman's every day.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Dankeschön.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We're committed to fountain drink perfection. That's why we make ours with 100% filtered water and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees over our famous chewy ice. They're only 79 cents every day, great taste at a great price. We're so sure you'll like the taste that we guarantee it. The next time you fill up at one of our 24 Cruisers locations, come inside and enjoy the perfect fountain drink made just the way you like it.
79-cent fountain drinks with chewy ice, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Williams going to try to float it to the near side of the end zone. Quinshon Davis brings it in for the touchdown. 20 seconds to play. Kaler fires it. And is it intercepted? It is! Intercepted by the Tar Heels. Tim Scott with the pick. And this one is heading Carolina Blue.
Carolina football on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, your flagship station for the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill.
And the game time is 3:30. Our coverage will start at 12 noon here on WCHL. Carolina at East Carolina. That game looks even more daunting now than it did last week after East Carolina went to Blacksburg and beat Virginia Tech. Oh, boy. And you know darn well. Their fans support them down there, so it's going to be crazy.
That's right, and after the loss last year, East Carolina taking Carolina here in on the Hill,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big one.
East Carolina is awfully good. They got a veteran team.
Yep.
They got a veteran quarterback.
That's right.
Who really gets it done. And the Tar Heels are going to have to play really well.
They are.
You know that the Tar Heels can roll up some points, but it's a question of, how good that defense is going to play. We've been able to force some turnovers, a lot of them. One of the country's leaders in turnovers forced, but Coach Fedora said we missed a lot of tackles against San Diego State, and he wants to correct that.
Yep.
Well, Rand Northam is here, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the authority on what's happening at chapelboro.com today.
Well, just one of the many authorities, as we've got a whole crew that puts this website together, and we love to bring it to you. Ariana Mangum is our one of our newer columnists, and today she writes about the sustainable garden. It's something that's easy to install, she says, and provides peace and tranquility. So you want to check that out. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
We've got a great photo gallery, and Ron, summer coming to an end, of course, and this is absolutely my favorite photo gallery every year. It's time to shut down the pool. Uh-huh. And they did so at the Hargraves Park with the dog swim. Elliot Rubin made it out to the dog swim to take photos of this. There's even a picture of a dog climbing out via the ladder. Used the ladder to get out of the pool.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Wow.
Was
that one of your dogs?
No. I don't think they'd even get in the water. I think the pom would drown if she did. The outstanding pictures every year. Really cool stuff. It's the dog swim. It's in our photo galleries on our website, chapelboro.com. You'll want to check that out. Of course, the ice bucket challenge has been going on. It's come to a close now. Everybody's pretty much done their ice bucket challenge. And the ALS Association actually said that it had more money than it knew what to do with at this point.
Wow.
I think some people kind of took that as, oh, well, I'm not going to give them anymore. Which I think was kind of the wrong way to go about it. What they were trying to say was we're just overwhelmed with how much support we've been given in all this, but I imagine that they will find something to do with the money.
I wish they had said it a different way.
I just said,
we're overwhelmed. It's really great, but keep it coming.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a bummer to me when I heard that as well. But Unfortunately, yesterday, Randy and I attended a visitation of a young man who died from ALS. He lasted 5 years with it, which they say 2 to 5 years is the average time frame. So really, he lasted on the outer spectrum of the length of that. But he was 29 years old.
Wow.
And lost his battle to ALS. And it's just so sad. But he had such a great spirit all the way to the end, his family says. Is Randy's two of Randy's coworkers were the sisters of this gentleman who lost his life to ALS, and it was a reminder to me to continue to think about that and hopefully all that money that was given here recently can go to stopping that and if nothing else, extending the lives of these people. Of course, we continue to keep Vivian Connell in our thoughts, and as she's struggling with ALS, she's in the earlier stages of that, and we continue to think of her and all of those who are touched by it one way or another, that there can hopefully be a cause. And you know, we're right in the heart of a lot of the hospitals that are doing a lot of the research. Duke Medical Center is doing just breakthrough medical research of fighting ALS right now, so hopefully, in the near future, we'll get more of a possibility of a cure for this.
Sure would be nice to find a cure, that's for sure.
That's right.
Rand, thank you so much.
You bet.
I hope everybody will go to the website, and I want to see that photo gallery with the dogs in the pool.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's really kind of cool. It's 7:46 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lauren Eastham. A new model of policing needs to occur in many locations in the United States. Gone should be the days of militaristic style of policing where a show of force and a me against them attitude prevails. Where, though, is the line drawn for safe expression of our rights to assemble and free speech and the potential for being considered a riot in the making or an already existing riot? That fine line is something that the police are used to hearing about, that line of which some things should not be crossed. That line should be a recognition of all the police that not all assemblies or multitudes of people with strong opinions is a group of fanatics that needs to be controlled with nerve gases, armored vehicles, and shotguns displayed and pointed at crowds. That term riot has been used pretty loosely of late. How is our country to feel safe in its constitutional right to peacefully protest, express our feelings, when the threat of military police force is in the air? Why arrest the press and cut off their cameras? What is it with the police riding atop armored vehicles with rifles drawn? Where do we live? Where is the First Amendment? What has happened in Ferguson and other parts of the country not getting this press coverage is reminiscent of old Soviet-style government control of dissenting citizens' opinions. Community policing may seem like a vague term, but is a term that I hope more cities across the nation pay attention to. With community policing, there's a basic understanding that the freedom to assemble and express one's opinion peacefully is within our right, and that police can actually be helpful in allowing these basic rights to continue safely. A police presence ideally should not necessarily mean a show of force with guns drawn and arrests of journalists. There is a difference. Community policing is a police force that gets to know its community personally and truly understands what issues they are having. Thus, when a protest occurs, there is less likely to be an overreaction to a peaceful demonstration. When is the time to show military equipment perhaps once used to take out Osama bin Laden? Is it ever appropriate here? Our town had its test with Yates Motor Company incident several years ago. I believe that experience was a learning one for everyone. We are a democracy. We are not a police state. We abide by strict laws, but we have the ability to speak our opinions. We should not break the law, but let the First Amendment continue to define us as a nation. Let it continue. Allow citizens to disagree peacefully without the fear of unreasonable show of force. This is Lauren Eastham.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer. That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket. Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso. No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal. Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower. No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a... no.
AT&T
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
John's call came during the fifth inning of a Little League game. His phone rang and everything changed. Dad had fallen. It wasn't supposed to happen this way. He tried to have the talk during their last visit, but he just didn't know how to get the conversation started. Now he'd have to make decisions on behalf of a father whose wishes he knew nothing about. To learn how to have difficult conversations with your aging parent, visit 4070talk.com. That's 4070talk.com. Don't wait. Have the conversation. Brought to you by Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
This is Art Chansky. Do you think you know more about college football than me? Then head on over to chapelboro.com and sign up for the 2014 College Pick'em. Each week we'll select the 10 best college football games played around North Carolina and the country. And before the cutoff time, pick who you think will win. Compete every week for great prizes like restaurant gift cards and so much more. Compete against your favorite Chapel Bar and WCHL personalities, including me, Aaron Keck, and Ron Stutz. Sound good? Well, what are you waiting for? Check it out today. College Pick'em on chapelboro.com.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Glass Half Full.
Thank you very much, Ron. The usual morning slowdowns right now, 15501 northbound and southbound in the Chapel Hill Carborough area, seeing some delays. NC54 eastbound and westbound between 15501 and I-40. Might see some taillights there as well, nothing major. I-40 moving pretty smoothly right now as traffic is picking up. This is about the time where it's getting heaviest, but really no accidents out there and no additional major delays to report to you. If you see anything, though, as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. And the beautiful garden patio is now open for outdoor dining. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too, at Glass Half Full. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. It is 64 degrees, partly sunny, a little bit warmer today. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a low in the low 60s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy and a little cooler again. Only a 20% chance of rain. Also in the morning, we'll have a chance of rain. And in the as usual in the afternoon, our high tomorrow only about 75. 752 WCHL, ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now with the word of the day on WCHL.
Hey, big guy.
Yeah, how's it going?
You sounded chipper this morning. Let me just lob you a softball, shall I?
Sure.
Let's make it fun. Let's make it easy. Let's give that Mercedes away.
I'm all poised to do that.
The word of the day, Ron Boy, is prudential. Prudential. I think I first learned this word when I think that was my dad's insurance company.
Yeah.
You remember back?
Yeah.
In the day?
Like a rock.
What?
Like a rock.
Like you, like a rock. P is in Paul. P-R-U. D-E-N-T-I-A-L, P-R-U, D-E-N-T-I-A-L, prudential, comes into modern English by way of Middle English and Middle French. You got to look out for those Middle Frenchmen. They're always up to something a little imprudent, the opposite of prudential. It is, it's all about being commonsensical, having good judgment, taking forethought, expressing caution in your behavior. In other words, it's all about prudence. Didn't you have a girlfriend named Prudence one time, Ron?
Dear Prudence, yeah, I did. And I used to say to her, won't you come out to play? But she never would.
Oh, boy. What a legendary contradiction that would have been. All right, prudential, P-R-U-D-E-N-T-I-A-L, of or relating to prudence. Let's move in a circle there with the wordsmith. Good judgment, common sense, forethought, and caution. There is your word of the day. Ron, I want you to behave yourself and be prudential today, okay?
Dear Prudence, it's a brand new day. Okay, Wayne, thank you, buddy.
Be a good boy. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:54. Ladies and gentlemen, I get the opportunity to do the clean joke of the day today, and it is from Dave Gephardt in Hillsboro. And let me just say that I think there's a really distinct possibility that Dave may be drawing on some personal experience here when he sent this joke. It is a conversation between a husband and a wife, and the woman starts out by saying, "Do you drink beer?" Husband says, "Yes." She says, "How many beers a day?" He says, "Usually about 3. She says, "How much do you pay per beer?" Man says, $5, which includes a tip. "And how long have you been drinking?" she says. Man says, "About 20 years, I guess." Woman says, "So a beer costs $5, and you have 3 beers a day, which puts your expenses each month at $450. In 1 year, it would be about $5,400, correct?" And he says, "Correct." Woman says, "If in 1 year you spend $5,400, not accounting for inflation, the past 20 years put your spending at $108,000, correct?" Man says, "Yes." Woman says, "Do you know that if you didn't drink so much beer, that money could have been put into an interest savings account, and after accounting for compound interest for the past 20 years, you could have now bought a Ferrari?" And the man says, "Do you drink beer?" Woman says, "No." And he says, "Where's your Ferrari?" Dave, that's a good one, buddy.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Natalia Linus is today's WCHL hometown hero.
You are the office coordinator for the Carrboro office of El Centro Hispano.
Yes, so as all of you know, we've been in town for the past 4 years. We serve all the Latino community, and right now we've been working with a task force for the past 4 years in a project called the Worker Center. All the day laborers that you have seen on Jones Ferry Road with David Rowe, they're going to be moved to our office. The idea is to offer them more secure jobs and just like create new groups and giving them like a leadership and create a group for domestic workers as well.
And what's the benefit of the Worker Center?
We want to provide more services to them. We know that having this opportunity for them is perfect to also have more jobs available. Some of them are in the corner and they find a job temporarily for one day, but next day you never know if you're going to get something or not. We're hoping that once we open the Worker Center, this person can have more jobs and that way also learn English and literacy, so the pool of jobs that he can have will be wider, and that way their income will be more stable.
It's going to be one heck of a lot better than what's happening right now.
As most of you know, the system that they have right now is whoever comes to the corner and pick them up, they just like run to the car and go. And sometimes in the middle of the road, they tell them like, "Oh, well, like, I don't think you're going to be a better person for the job." So they just like leave them in the middle of the road and they don't have a way to come back. Or after like 10, 12 hours of work, they don't get paid. So that's what we're trying to avoid. That probably we're going to lower that number of cases, but at some point the ideal will be that that doesn't happen at all.
Natalia, let me just ask you, how long have you been here and how long have you been with El Centro Hispano?
Originally from Colombia. Mm-hmm. I've been here for the past 4.5 years, and with El Centro, I've been working for the past year.
Thank you for doing what you do, because you are certainly helping a lot of other people. Is there a website where folks can go?
Yes, they can go to www.elcentronc.org, or they just can go to our office. We are in downtown Carrboro on 201 West Weaver Street, and they can also call us to 919-945-0132.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to meet you, and
nice
thank you for coming.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Natalia Linus is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
64 degrees in Chapel Hill, 63 in Carrboro, and also 63 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly sunny today, a little warmer today than yesterday. We have a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain, and look for an overnight low in the low 60s. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. 20% chance of showers, maybe even in the morning, and a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High tomorrow is 75. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
U.S. military in a new fight
to confront the worst Ebola epidemic in history.
ISIS targets hit southwest of Baghdad.
What this means is we're the air force of the Iraqi military.
Wildfire scorches homes in a Northern California town.
All that's left there is bricks. It's completely gone.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the American military is being sent to a new battleground, and the enemy is Ebola, the virus blamed for more than 2,200 deaths in West Africa. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
The U.S. response to the Ebola epidemic will move to a new level.
The president has identified it as a top national security priority.
Spokesman Josh Earnest says that priority will be reflected in a dramatically ramped up U.S. effort. Today, the president will announce a plan for thousands of U.S. military personnel and experts from other agencies to set up a new command base in Liberia. It will coordinate the construction of treatment centers and distribution of medical supplies, protective gear, and even body bags for the drive to control Ebola in West Africa.
CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
They will assist in building these facilities and then likely monitoring them to make sure that they're run properly, that they're not exposing the virus to civilians or other people within the area.
Two Americans are being treated for Ebola here in this country. Two others recovered. One of them, Dr. Kent Brantley, testifies today at a congressional hearing. The latest U.S. air attack on ISIS militants in Iraq hit targets in the shadow of the capital. Michael Rubin is at the American Enterprise Institute.
What really struck me is that the airstrikes happened southwest of Baghdad, which shows just how far ISIS has penetrated into Iraq.
CBS's Cammie McCormick says key defense officials go before Congress today.
Neither Congress nor the White House want U.S. ground troops in Iraq or Syria, and House Republicans say their approval will come with an explicit ban on combat troops. They also want to see a Pentagon plan 15 days before the training of moderate Syrian fighters begins. Another bill would limit the U.S. engagement to 18 months and rule out military action outside of Iraq or Syria, indicating some lawmakers are worried this fight against ISIS could expand.
I'm Vicky Barker. ISIS has gone too far, even for al-Qaeda. Britain's independent newspaper reports al-Qaeda's Syrian affiliate pleaded for the release of British aid worker Alan Henning within days of his kidnapping late last year. The argument that Henning was an innocent civilian trying to ease the suffering of Syrian Muslims and that harming him would be un-Islamic. The plea was in vain. ISIS is threatening to behead Henning next.
A suicide bomb attack in Afghanistan's capital killed three NATO service members, one a soldier.